The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered Jesus, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise you, Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Reformation Sunday, October, in the year of our Lord, 2015. The church lives in the modern era. We have telephones and we have internet. We have electricity. You, those who have gathered here today, live in this same era. We have cars, we have advancements, we have healthcare, we have education, we have all sorts of things. And the church needs to speak to this world. The church needs to respond to the needs of this world. What do we as human beings live in tension with? What is our bondage? What is our sinfulness? What, in the words of Jeremiah, today is our hope for the future? What is our fears for our children and grandchildren? How do we see the risen Lord around us in this ever-changing age? But the church is also a holder, a preserver of history. We have ancient truths. We have ancient texts. We have ancient rituals. There is a way that we worship. There is a way that connects us to our mothers and fathers, men and women in faith, going back thousands of years, and in the case of our connection with the Hebrews, going back 10,000 years. How do we put these things together? How do we live with this tension? How do we honor our past? How do we honor what we were, what we are built on, and what we hold to be eternal and true, but yet make ourselves relevant to those who need to hear, who need to receive, who need to have what we are able to give in the year 2015. As we come to this Reformation Sunday, I struggle with this dynamic. As many here probably know, the Reformation started with this monk in a backwater German town of Wittenberg. He was a priest, he was a university professor. And he nailed 95 points of debate. 95 things that he thought the Roman Church needed to change in its theology and practice in Europe. All the things from the selling of indulgences to the primacy of papal authority, to whether priests should be married or not, to whether a church can hold land or not, to how communion is to be received, just in one kind, just the bread, or in two kinds, the body and blood of Christ. And from that moment, nearly 500 years ago, the church has changed. I'd be bold enough to say the world has changed. But how do we celebrate this Reformation act, this act of the Holy Spirit? For me, Martin Luther is a personal hero. To read his works, to know his struggles, to see the things that he endured, and to see the brilliance and the Holy Spirit working through him, I find miraculous. But on Reformation Sunday, how do we acknowledge that? The old standard way of doing that is for us to gather as Protestants and pat ourselves on the back and say, "We got it right." To throw scorn and shame and all sorts of vile at that Roman church 500 years ago with their indulgences and their Pope and St. Peter's Basilica and, you know, the celibacy of clergy and all these things and say, "Aha, we were right." But that's not meaningful. That doesn't have the spirit of Christ. That's not ecumenical. That's not inclusive. That's just separating us, a group of Christians, from them, a different group of Christians. That's not what Paul calls us to in today's reading from Romans. If we take seriously the words of St. Paul that all, And Paul says that he is chief among that group, that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory that God has intended for us. And the Protestant church isn't perfect. The Roman church isn't perfect. The church down the street isn't perfect. But all of us who gather here think that we have some nugget of truth. We have some understanding. And who am I to say your understanding is wrong? Who am I to deride what you hold to be sacred? I can only stand and say, for me, this is true. This is how I experience the risen Lord. This is how I connect with God. This is how I see the ministry and life of Christ extending 2,000 years to the year 2015 and being present in my family and in my community and in my desire to serve. Does the name Lutheran even have meaning anymore? There was a time, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 20 years ago, I don't know, when denominational names were like franchises. They were important. Put the name Lutheran on the front of your building. Put the name Anglican on the front of your building. Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, whatever it may be. People align themselves with these beliefs and these doctrines and these dogmas and these practices and these ways of doing things. But in the year 2015, is the name Lutheran really important? We live in a world with far less Christians than Christians. To put Lutheran on a building says, this is the place where Lutherans gather. It tells other people, if I'm not a Lutheran, that's not where I'm supposed to be. Maybe we should change our name. Battleford's Church of Grace. The Battleford's Covenant Church. Maybe the word church is too difficult in this modern age. Maybe the word church invokes too many stereotypes of long, boring services, about a list of rules and expectations, about moral superiority. Maybe we better get rid of the name church. Maybe we can use fellowship. Battleford's Faith Fellowship. Battleford's Community Fellowship. Maybe fellowship is too churchy a word. Maybe we use the word center. New Living Spirit Center, we can call ourselves. Freedom Center, New Life Center, New Hope Center. But we're Lutheran. We believe in the grace of God. We believe that we don't save us, but that Jesus Christ has already saved us. We don't believe that we're better than the people down the street. We are who we are. We do well to claim it. We do well to recognize that it isn't perfect. That our structures aren't perfect, that our leadership isn't perfect, that our building isn't perfect, that our theology isn't perfect. That we are humans and we are limited. That we don't always love as we should love and forgive as we should forgive and give as we should give. But at the end of all these sentences in which I say that we aren't perfect comes the knowledge of God's love for us. Comes the knowledge that Christ died for me and for you because we aren't perfect. These words of Jesus today. If you follow in my words, you are truly my disciples. And if you hear my words, you know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We are people who have been given freedom. Now the word freedom is one of those catch terms. It gets thrown around quite a bit. But with freedom always comes responsibility. You know, when God gave us the gift of freedom in Christ, when God said to us through Jesus Christ, look, your sins are forgiven. You are free to live, and you are free to laugh, and you are free to serve, and you are free to love, and you are free to enjoy creation. That'll be a little tough. You know, as I go through life as a parent, the more things I experience in my role as a father, I think the more deeply I understand God's love for us. You know, as I have a daughter now who's cresting into teenage years, I'm quite upset about this for many reasons, but she's beginning to get more freedom. You know, when she was small, when Carmela was young, she's not here today because she's sick, so I can talk about her. Just don't let her know that I did this. When she was young, I could control her daily life. She didn't have a meal unless I made it for her. She didn't have a play date with a friend unless I set it up and got them together for her. She went to bed when I told her. She listened to the music that I decided she could listen to. We read the books together that I picked out for her. She couldn't change the channel on television, so she only watched what I allowed her to watch. She had virtually no freedom. But now I can't control these things in her life. I can't control who she talks to at school. I can't control the influences of society that come into her life, both good ones and negative ones. I can't control what her friends say to her. I can't control the choices that she makes in the playground at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I can't control what she eats. From little things to large things, I've lost a lot of control, and she's gained freedom. And I hate that. And I bet God hates what we do with our freedom a lot of times. But this is the result of love. If I just simply built an 8x8 box in the basement and locked her in it for all of life, and the more I talk about it, the better it sounds, but I can't do it. I can control her daily existence. But in Christ, God lets us out of the box. Out of the box of law and sin, the 612 laws of the Old Testament, telling us what we can eat, how we can eat, what we can wear, how we can dress, how we treat our wives and husbands and foreigners, and all these laws that micromanage every aspect of our lives. In Christ, God lets us out of all that. And this is the gift of the Reformation. Seizing that and saying, we are saved. By grace alone, through faith alone, God has done it all, and we simply accept it. As I give my daughter freedom, she accepts it. But I have expectations for her. She has responsibilities of how she lives that freedom. And the same is true for us. We are truly free, as Christ says. If we truly hear the words of Christ, we are made free. We are free to love and free to live and free to experience joy. Like Paul says, yes, we are sinners who have fallen short of the glory of God. We recognize it, but we can live through it, not be bogged down by it. Totally free, but totally responsible. We are responsible, and these are the words of Luther, to one another. Luther says, you know what? Your freedom makes you king over all. But you are also servant of all as well. So God has entrusted you out of love. Our Father in heaven has said, yes, you have come of age. I have walked you through the desert. I have called you out of Egypt. I have given you your land. And now it is time for you to live in the world. I have called the Gentiles. I have brought you in together. I have formed you into my community. I have given you my son. I have done all I can do for you. And as a parent, isn't that what we do with children? When they are young, we instill in them a sense of right and wrong. We teach them what proper food groups look like. We encourage friendship and service and love and support because we know someday we won't be there. When they're 17 years old, we won't be in that dimly lit basement at midnight at some party somewhere. And they will have to make a choice. And we hope those years that we spent together will help them make a good choice. And when a friend is having a hard time, we hope they make a good choice. And when they have a choice to build someone up or tear someone down, we hope they make a good choice. But all we can do as parents is simply put them on the right track. Give them the tools they need, the knowledge they need, the sense of faith, the sense of community, the sense of support. That we can model forgiveness and grace and service and stewardship in our daily lives because they're always watching. That they will internalize these things and carry it into their teen, into their young adult, and into their adult lives. But they have freedom. And we give that freedom out of love. God gives us freedom out of love. And we can take that freedom, just like a reckless person, and we can squander it. We can be, as Christ says today, a slave to sin. We can blow all our money. We can inject all sorts of things in our body. We can do all sorts of things to different people. And we can say, don't tell me what's wrong. I can do what I want. I can treat you how I want. I can take what I want. I can buy what I want. I can steal what I want. And I can squander what I want. Don't tell me what's wrong. Don't push your morals on me. And if we do that, we are in bondage to sin. We are owned by our choices. They will catch up to us. In terms of our health, in terms of our relationships, in terms of how we coincide with creation, the bank will catch up to us. Our liver will catch up to us. Choices will catch up to us. And we are in bondage to them. But if we live the free life of Christ, the free life of love and joy and service and hope, these things just multiply. The more friendships we enter into, the more friends we have. The more we serve, the more opportunities to serve we have. The more we pray, the more we study, the more we read about God, the more we see God in the world. And take my advice, the more we give, the more we receive. And so we live the life of freedom. To me, this is the hallmark of what Martin Luther has blessed the church with. Luther didn't create this. He simply brought it to the forefront of who we are as Christians. Free. Free to worship, free to celebrate communion, free to love one another, free to live as Christ's people in the world. Not in bondage. Because you can be in bondage to sin, you can be in bondage to money, to sexuality, you can be in bondage to the church if laws are holding you down. Or you can be free with grace. When we celebrate Reformation Sunday, we are celebrating freedom. The freedom to act and the freedom to love and the freedom to be God's people in the world. That we have reached the maturity of knowledge and a maturity of faith. That God has said, here is my world. I have given you my best. I have given you my best instruction. I have given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. I have given you the gift of baptism. I have gone as far as to give you the life of my Son. But what choices will you make? And this is where I connect as a parent. I try and give my children the best of my knowledge, the best of my time, the best of my wisdom, the best of my example. But soon the world is theirs. And the choices they make and how they live their freedom, I can only hope these things that I do now play some part in how they grow up and live their lives. I hope they love and I hope they serve and I hope their days are filled with increasing joy and opportunity. But I know that I'm quickly losing my ability to control the choices that they are making. Soon I will be on the sidelines. I'll be cheering for them. Like God, I will be there to forgive them. I'll be there to embrace them like the prodigal son. I'll be there to cheer for them. I'll be there to help them when they stumble. I'll be there 2 o'clock in the morning if they need me. I will be there. But I cannot always be there. But they will be free. We are free. We have heard the word of truth. We have heard the gospel of salvation. If we follow these words, we will be Christ's disciples. Free disciples. Christ's disciples come and Christ's disciples go. They go into the world. They experience success. They experience failure. Christ always lifts them up. The truth will make us free. And you know what this divine truth is? This mysterious truth? This amazing truth? The truth is you're already free. You've been given the Holy Spirit. You've been given the good news of Christ. You've been given a knowledge of faith, a hope for a future to come. But will you seize it? Will you live in that freedom? This is the Reformation story. A people who were in bondage. In bondage to Rome, in bondage to hierarchy, in bondage to servanthood, in bondage to all sorts of things. That they were freed by the work of one lone monk in a part of Germany no one had ever heard of before, doing the task of simply nailing a piece of parchment to a wooden door, forever changed the course of human history, and dare I say, the course of our future as well, because he seized his freedom. He would not let his bishop, his cardinal, his pope hold him back. The same is true for us. Don't let anything squander your freedom. Don't let any desire, don't let any debt, don't let anything not of God squander what you have been given. Don't put yourself in a box. Don't let other people and other things put you in some wooden box in the basement, simply sliding your food into a tray. We are kings over all, but we are also servants of one another. Amen.